The scripture reading for this morning you can find in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll read from verse 1 through 8. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Here ends the reading of God's word.
With the help of the Lord, dear congregation, we want to preach the gospel to you according you find in 1 Kings 19, verse 7. 1 Kings 19, verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You see, Elijah, in the first place, touched again, the second time, by the angel of the Lord. And let it be our prayer, children, young ones, to be touched by the angel of the Lord this morning. When you are sitting in your seat, pray, silent in your heart, O Lord, touch me. We see him touched. In the second place, commanded, Arise and eat, that all the people of God may hear the command of their master this morning. Arise and eat. The table is ready. The blood is shed. It is finished. Nothing is need. Only a poor sinner, a poor bad sinner, coming to an all-sufficient Savior. Lord, to whom I shall go. Commanded, arise and eat. In the third place, we see him comforted. The Lord wants also this day to comfort his people. And that's what we need. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Dear congregation, how amazing is the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord for his poor and needy people on the earth. We see it especially in Elijah. He has no courage. Maybe you don't have either. Looking in yourself and looking on yourself, how can a sinner as I am sit at that holy table and take that holy supper? I'm quite unworthy. You are. And the more you feel it, the better it is. Elijah, he was rebellious. He didn't agree with the ways of the Lord. He wanted to die, not from out of longing to be with Christ, but because he had no faith in exercise. He had faith. For never can a child of God lose his faith. But not all the time the faith is in living exercise. And when that's not the case, it can be so dark in the soul of the people of God that they don't see the strength, the glory, the might of their God and the love of their God. But the Lord never changes his mind and his love. He comes to Elijah. Elijah fled away, but the Lord went after him. And when he was there in the wilderness, the Lord visited him. Did the Lord visit you too in the wilderness of this life? When you had no courage, no hope, everything against the Lord. How is it possible that such a creature can come to the table of the Lord? Because the Lord is good. Because he never changes. Always stays the same in his love for his poor and afflicted people. We come to the Lord's table not because we are in ourselves righteous. That's our fault, that we are always looking in ourselves. And what do we find when we know ourselves? And how we need the knowledge of ourselves? By the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. And the more the light of the Spirit is shining in our soul, the more we see, O Lord, there is nothing but sin. I cannot find anything in myself to please Thee. But oh, wonderful thing, when that same Spirit opens the eyes for the beauty, the fullness, the rightnesses of Christ, we come to the Lord's table not because we are rightness in ourselves, but because we fly to Christ as a bird fly to the nest. We fly to Christ. We only build on Him. We only expect it from Him. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Is that a desire of your soul? To come to Christ, to see His face, to feel His love, to praise Him, to glorify Him, to be in His presence? The disciples of Christ were poor believers, often. But they had one desire, to be in His presence. They couldn't live outside Him. And there is a people on this earth that only can live in and with Christ. Elijah was sleeping. He was sleeping here the second time. When he slept the first time, he was in a very bad condition. But the Lord touched him, awakened him, and the Lord provided feed for him. The cake baking in the fire, a cruse of water. And he was ordered to eat and to drink, and he did. What shall that have been for him? That wonderful care of the Lord for such a man as he. that wonderful providence in the wilderness. We tasted it. We felt it. And then he lay down again. But yet there was a difference, I think, between the first and the second laying down. There's a great difference, isn't it? When you have in your life ever tasted that the Lord is good in Christ Jesus for you. May you ever taste it with the mouth of your soul, the bread of life and the water of life. Did you? When you ever did, you may never deny your Lord. But always we need to be touched again. Elijah is sleeping again, but I think more like the psalmist. I lay down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I lay down and slept. I awaked. How did he awake? Well, the angel of the Lord touched him. Elijah, rise and eat. Don't sleep any longer. That's our first thought. We see Elijah sleeping, touched by the Lord. And that's the question for each of us. Are we ever in our life touched by the Lord Himself? It must be the first time. It must happen. For we are sleeping by nature. Sleeping the death. Spiritual death. Oh, we are awakened for sin. We are awakened for the pleasures of this world. But we are dead for Christ. And that must change. You must awake. Awake. How can a man eat the body of Christ when he is dead? A dead man or woman cannot eat really. The table is only for the living ones. They were made alive by the touching, the saving touching of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need for coming to the Lord's table, to be touched by the Lord, to be made alive by Himself who is the life and the way and the truth. And when you don't awaken, you shall be lost forever. And when you eat from the Lord's Supper, without be awakened, without be a living believer, then it's not to your profit, but it's to your ordeal. Oh, friends, be careful. The table is only for the children, also the weakest children, also the most small children, but the table is only for the children of God. And there the Lord will refresh and strengthen His poor people. Are you sleeping? It's possible that there are children of God in our midst which are sleeping in a bad way, which have no courage, which are cast down, which are dark in their mind. Can I go? No. The devil says, no, you cannot go. Deny your Lord. Oh, that's not what he says. No, no. But he makes it very, very easy for you to deny the Lord Jesus. How terrible would that be, child of God, when you are not in a good condition, you need the Lord's Supper. When you are very weak, you need food. You need the meat. You need the bread. You must drink. When you are in a bad condition, oh, ask the Lord now, oh Lord, touch me, draw me. The angel of the Lord is still the same. He touched. Also for the second time, Elijah. And Elijah arose. And when you are sleeping, maybe children of God, in rest, in peace, did you have a good sleep this night? Was you near the Lord? were your thoughts, your desires with your Lord? In the prayer, in the desiring, O Lord, that I may see Thee. When I am sitting on the table, I may taste Thy goodness, and that I may glorify Thee in confessing that I belong to Thee, and that I seek my life only in Thee, blessed Savior. The Lord shall teach you. He draw you near. And He makes it anew. He refresh your soul. So He did with Elijah. Elijah slept, but was awakened. He was so tired, and the Lord knew it. For we don't read that the Lord punished him for his sleeping, but the Lord touched him. The Lord wanted to give him more, to show him more. And that's the desire of every soul who really knows the Lord, who really knows God, who really knows Christ, to receive more. Your souls are hungry. Your souls are thirsty. And when you eat it from the goodness of the Lord, you always have hunger anew, more hunger. For you have enough to the Lord, but you are always desiring for more. And the Lord is teaching Elijah to give him new strength, to give him new meat, and to bring him in a way closer to him than ever before. And that's the meaning of the Lord's Supper. To bring us close to the Lord, so that we may see more in Jesus than ever before, so that we may more enjoy the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit than ever before, so that we may be fulfilled with that divine love. Oh, the Lord granted us. We need to be touched by the Holy Spirit. We need to be made full of that love of God, and the Lord is still the same. And He says this morning in our midst, arise and eat. That is His commandments. His commandment. It's not a question, are you willing to do it? Do it, please. No, it's a commandment. When you are a child of God, you are commanded to come. That the Lord is saying to you, arise and eat. Arise, awaken. How do you need you which are not yet awakened? As long as you are not awakened, I said, you cannot come. As long as you are not really a child of God, ye cannot come. But there is a promise in the Scripture. Also, just for the dead ones. What promise? Well, here. And the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And the dead shall hear. Oh Lord, I'm so dead. But you say that. Oh Lord, I'm so blind. Oh Lord, I never feel really my guilt. Oh Lord, there is no love in my heart to Christ. I know everything with my head, but I don't know anything with my heart. I'm so dead. Go to your dead, to Christ. He's a living Savior. And He makes you alive. And hear the promise of the Lord. And the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they shall live. Oh, how wonderfully is the voice of our Lord. How powerfully. Dead sinners come to alive. That's the desire of our soul, that the Lord wants to use us. Also in the preaching of the gospel to you. That the dead may hear the Son. The voice of the Son of God. children of God, when you are sleeping in a bad way, then you are in danger to deny your Savior. Then you are in danger to think, it's nothing with me. And then the enemy of your soul says to you, has never been true. You should not be in such a bad condition when you are really a believer. That's saying the liar, the enemy of your soul. He always wants to keep you far away from Christ. Don't listen. Listen to the voice of your Lord. Listen to His commandment. Doesn't be disobedient. Arise and eat, for the table is provided for all the children of God. Everyone, no one may deny the Lord. And when you have rest in your soul, when there is a desire to be with the Lord, hear His commandment to you. Arise and eat. Is that not wonderful? Then you feel till in the deepest of your heart that the Lord calls you, that He invites you, that you are one of His beloved ones, and that the longing of your heart makes you desiring very strong to sit here and to glorify His name. For the Lord is worthy that you glorify Him, that you confess Him, and that you say visible for all the people, I am His, I belong to this beloved Lord. He will renew, He will refresh you, He will give you much more. You know so little from the Lord, and you feel that, O Lord, I know Thee by grace. I felt Thy love, I heard Thy voice, I know Thee by grace, but yet there is a strong desire in my soul to hear Thy voice again, powerfully in my soul, a strong desire again to feel Thy peace in my heart and to get new strength to struggle the good fight against all the enemies of my soul. Oh, the Lord, He is good for a bad people. And He says to all His ones, arise and eat. You must eat. Not only arise, but you must eat this morning. And what is eating? Well, the body of Christ, that's the meat, that's the food, spiritually. And you can only eat, of course, when you are a spiritual living person. Then your soul is hungry. And you have a fine task. The only thing which you want to have, that's Christ. Nothing else. Nobody else. Christ only. As the only fountain of your life. And the only foundation of your righteousness. Oh Lord, that I may eat Christ. And what happens then? Well, when you eat the food, and when you eat abroad the bread, the body of Christ unites with your body. So you become one. And that's the strongest desire of a true believer. The union with Christ. By the Holy Spirit, He in me and I in Him, so that we may be one. That's wonderful. That must be experienced. That wonderful union. Christ for me, yes, but also Christ in me. And then the power of Christ in my soul, by this spiritual food, all wonderful matter. When we so receive Christ, when we drink of the blood of sprinkling, that blood that cleans all sin, when we experience in the appliance of the strength of that blood, peace by the blood of Christ. In true saving faith, that blood cleansed away all my sin, that I stand before God as if I never have sinned, and so receive the peace of God in my soul. Oh, that's the desire of the heart of a child of God. O Lord, say thou unto my soul, I am thy salvation, that I may have thy nearness and a clear view of my part in Christ, Christ in me and I in him. That's the desire of the true believer. And the Lord gives the desire of his people. He knows what is the deepest desire of your soul, my dear friend. And he will refresh you and comfort you. For we see here Elijah touched and commanded, but also comforted. And that's what the Lord is willing to do, to comfort you. He knows from all your struggle, from all your sins. He knows what's living in you far better than you can see it yourself. And he knows your path and your way. For what is the Lord saying to his child? Because the journey is too great for you. Elijah, you cannot go further without me, without the meat I want to give you. Without that meat, you have no strength to go further. But I have a new task for you. And we see tonight the wonderful strength of this meat. He went 40 days and 40 nights by the strength of this meat. How wonderful is the strength which the Lord gives. But we see that when the Lord gives us tonight, for what is the comfort for Elijah? The Lord knows the way he has to go. We don't know it, what shall happen in future. But that may be our comfort. The Lord shall provide. The Lord knows our way. And the Lord points out our way. In eternal, endless wisdom, the Lord guides our ways. The way, the journey is too great for you. You cannot go alone, my child. But you need not go alone. I shall go with you. I will give you everything you need. I will provide in all the troubles you shall have. I give you strength in everything you shall need. The Lord is good for his people. He is the only strength of his people. That's what he says. The journey is too great for you, but not too great for me to carry you, to comfort you, to strengthen you in all your afflictions and troubles. And by the strength of the Lord, you shall end your journey. You shall come to the Mount of God, and here you receive the forecasts of eternal love and eternal peace. Let us lift up our hearts where our Savior is and hear his promise. There I am, there shall be my servant. Oh, be comforted, people of the Lord. The Lord is with you. He knows your way. He shall provide. And he shall comfort your soul at his table. Poor afflicted ones, sinners are welcome. O Lord, I have nothing in myself, but yet my heart is desiring for thy presence, to hear thy voice, to feel thy love, to glorify thy holy name. And when the forecast is of heavenly joy, are so endless sweet, what shall it be, congregation, to be with the Lord forever, to sit at a table there, where the glorified church is glorifying God, perfect into all eternity. There are two parts of the church. The church here in struggle and fighting. The church in conquering there and glorifying the Lord. One church. And here the Lord gives his poor people
The forecast is of that heavenly joy. Christ in our midst. Christ in our hearts. Christ all in all. O Lord, grant it us by thy grace. Be in our midst and stood all our hearts. Let that be our prayer. Amen.
We will read now the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 till 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that every one examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, ye so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he has laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and those firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, warmongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who led offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sin, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ has ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to reject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desires to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin of or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord has instituted His supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of Him. Now, after this manner are we to remember Him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, that He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, and that He has fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that He afterward suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that He was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that He suffered His blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that He might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and has also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and has humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured for this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth, in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life, eternal righteousness and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the Holy Apostle says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed this in word, but also in very deed, towards one another. Hereto assist us the Almighty God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, We beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves and up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, ye with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us daily our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts into the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith led us, not down, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Come, from all things are ready now. It is finished. Rise and eat. The bread that we break is the communion with the body of Christ. His body was broken to forgive all our sins. Take and eat and believe that all your sins are forgiven only by His broken body and shedded blood. The cup that we bless is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take it and believe that His blood cleansed all your sin, and that you are in the child of God, in the sight of God, as if you never have sinned, cleansed by His blood. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, I will read with you a portion of the scripture, what you find in the Gospel according John, chapter 17, the verses 20-26. John 17, from verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. How great is the love of our Savior. Let us lift up our hearts to the place where He is. And let me pray that the Lord will open the gates of heaven, and that we may see Him there praying for me, each personally. Always praying for you, dear child of God, is your Savior. Also when you cannot pray, when heaven is closed for your feeling, your Savior is always praying for you. And what does He pray? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, you are given by the Father to the Son. You are from all eternity in the heart of your Heavenly Father. He loved you with an everlasting, unchanging love. And that love is by the Holy Spirit put out in your soul. Is that not wonderful? Is that not amazing? That you and I, such sinners as we are, were touched by the love of the eternal God, and the world became empty, and sin became hateful, and Christ became seed to our soul, so that we saw by faith the beauty and the glory of this blessed Savior. And now our life is hidden with Him in God, He in us, and we in Him. And now He is praying, Father, I will. And that prayer is founded of His holy sacrifice. He has paid for you. There is no guilt. There is no sin. All things are taken away. There is love. There is divine love. Eternal love. And that for such a creature as we are, we cannot understand it. We can only admire that great love of our Lord. Who am I, O Lord, that I got such a blessing from Thee, not deserved by myself, on the contrary, the chief of sinners, the worst of all. And yet the Lord took me, touched me, made me alive. That's the wonder of the living Church of God. Father, I will, that all also Thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Is that not the deepest desire of your soul? The Lord knows how He desires our hearts. I think that's the desire of a true Christian, to be there where Christ is. To be in the midst of His people, to be among the monks, the means of His grace. A Christian seeks Christ. And where he cannot find Christ, there is all, everything empty. But where Christ is, there he is happy. And where is Christ, he is here. To his promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. He is living in your heart. He has spread out his love in your soul. Christ is your life. Though you are weak and faint maybe in yourself, but yet it is true. And Christ is in his body at the right hand of the Father. And he is praying, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's your future. But that's also your desire. And when the drops of heaven, once of God's servant said, when the drops of heavens are in your heart, the drops come in your eyes from the unholy desire to be there. There is no sin. Where Christ is all in all. Where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is known in all His fullness, in all His glory. When you into all eternity may glorify God, all you seekers of the Lord, you shall get your wish. It shall be fulfilled. And very soon, for what's that years? That couple of years we stay here, compared with the eternity. And the Lord knows this. He strengthened you, for the journey should be too great for you, but not too great for Him. He will guide His people and bring them safely home. Fear of our Lord guarantees it. Father, I will, which Thou hast given me, given from the Father to the Son. Now you are His, and that's the only comfort, to be His, not of my own, but to be His. That they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Who can imagine the glory which Christ had before the foundation of the world? And yet I think His glory is still greater. For before the foundation of the world, His chosen people was in His heart. But now, maybe the most of them are with Him in heaven. that they may see my glory. What shall that be, children of the Lord, to see the glory of the Lord? We see Him by faith now and then, as in a mirror. But when we Him see like He is, in the fullness of His heavenly glory, when I saw Him, said the Apostle of John, I feel as death at His feet, and He put His right hand on me, fear not. I've been dead, and I'm alive. Oh, that the Lord may put His right hand on us, and that we may, by the strength of this meat, follow our journey, struggling against all evil, till we come there where He is, there where we are at home. We are not at home here. This is the place of the wilderness. This is the desert. And we travel through it not alone. By the strength of this meat, we can follow the way. The Lord be with you. He fulfills you with His peace and strength. And He gives you a strong desire and a heavenly forecast of that which is what is shall coming. When the prayer of our Lord is fulfilled, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me. The Lord be with you, and you may be with the Lord. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Who has not spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and given us all things with Him. Therefore God commandeth therewith His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified in His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord, from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let me thank now. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thy infinite mercy given us Thy only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that Thou gavest us lively faith, thereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that Thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain His Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech Thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we can conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouth and hearts. Amen.